In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, saith the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, and I will cut off man from the face of the earth, saith the Lord. That's how the prophecy of Zephaniah begins, and that's the prophet that we commemorate today. Particularly during the Nativity Fast, you'll note that there are a number of the prophets that are commemorated, and that's because the Nativity Fast is a time in which we spiritually remember the time before the coming of Christ. And so we remember especially the prophets that foretold of the coming of Christ. The prophet Zephaniah's prophecy begins with very stark words. And basically what he's saying is there will be an end of this world, and God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. St. Peter talks about the same thing in his second epistle, chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." God will judge, and he will begin with the judgment of his people. The prophet Zephaniah talked about how the people of Israel at that time were waffling between the worship of the true God and worshiping Baal and other pagan gods. The prophet Zephaniah began his prophecy at the beginning of the reign of King Josiah. King Josiah was the last of the good kings of Judah, and he led a great revival that probably began in part because of the preaching of the prophet Zephaniah. But prior to the time of Josiah, Judah, the kingdom of Judah, had entered into a time of very rank idolatry and also things like child sacrifice and ritual prostitution. As a matter of fact, the name of the prophet Zephaniah means "the Lord has hidden," and some people speculate that perhaps his parents gave him that name because he was hidden, because they didn't want him to become one of the children that were sacrificed to Moloch. He especially talks about those that turn aside from the Lord, and those that seek not the Lord, and them that cleave not unto the Lord. And he says, "Fear ye before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand." And then further on down he says, "Lament ye that inhabit the city that is broken down, for the whole people has become like unto Canaan." They've become like unto Canaan in their idolatry, but he's also telling them that they're going to become like unto Canaan in the fact that they're going to be destroyed. He says, "It shall come to pass in that day that I will search Jerusalem with a lamp, and will take vengeance on the men that despise the things that are committed unto them. But they say in their hearts, the Lord will not do any good, neither will he do any evil." The people of that time had a practical atheism, where they were basically saying, God's not going to do anything one way or the other. Maybe some of them even were atheists. But they certainly didn't think that God was a righteous God that was going to hold them to account, and they thought that they could do whatever they wanted and that they would be able to get away with it. And unfortunately, we see that our own culture has headed in that same direction, and we are reaping the fruit of that kind of an attitude. We unfortunately this week had yet another shooting. And what did we see? We saw someone who thought that God would neither do any good nor would he do any evil, because this kid went and he shot 27 people, and then he was shooting himself as well, because he thought, "I'm going to escape from human justice. I'm going to go down in a blaze of glory. I'm going to take a bunch of people down with me, and ha-ha, no one's going to be able to do anything to me." He kills himself, totally oblivious to the fact that God would hold him accountable, not having any reason to believe that, because the culture around him was told him that God would not do good, neither would he do any evil, so he had nothing to fear. But God is telling the people of Judah that, as a matter of fact, they do have something to fear, because God would hold them accountable. It's noted that The people did repent at this time, but that not long after the time of Josiah, there were a series of kings that also did wickedly, and then finally the Babylonians came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And so you have the fulfillment of these words that the prophet utters here, where he talks about people searching Jerusalem with a lamp and taking vengeance. When the Romans did the same thing after Christ came, Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, and was rejected by so many of the Jews, Christ warned them that the day was going to come when Jerusalem would be surrounded by armies, that it would be destroyed, and he warned the Christians to flee into the mountains. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what the Christians at that time did. They fled into the mountains, whereas the rest of the inhabitants of Jerusalem stayed in the city and thought that they would be secure and that they would be delivered from the hand of the Romans. But as a matter of fact, the Romans were able to take the city. And the historian Josephus records how the Romans went through the city, searching the cisterns and the alleys and every hidden place that they could find, so they could find every last person. And every person was either killed or they were sold into slavery. God also warns them that their wealth that they trusted in would be taken away, it would be utterly destroyed. It says, "And their power shall be for ravaging, and their houses for utter destruction. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink of the wine thereof, for the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and very speedy. The voice of the day of the Lord is made bitter and harsh. The mighty day of wrath is that day, a day of affliction and distress, a day of desolation and destruction, a day of gloominess and darkness, a day of cloud and vapor, a day of trumpet and cry against the strong cities and against the high corners." We're also seeing that in our own culture, aren't we? We're seeing how our own wealth is being destroyed. And why is it happening? The judgment of God is, I believe, beginning to fall in this country, and has been for some time. And I don't have to be a prophet to know that. I just have to simply read the Bible, because the Bible talks about how God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And yet we kill 1.5 million babies in this country every year. We weep over the children that were killed in Connecticut, but we're mostly oblivious to the fact that children are killed every day in this country, and it's done legally with the sanction of the government. That we think God will not do good, neither will he do evil. God's not going to punish us. God's going to bless America, if anything, but most of us, or at least many in the culture, are beginning to think that God's not even going to do that. It's all up to us. It's all up to our own strength. It's up to our own power. And our focus is on getting wealth and gaining power. But we see in history how the wealth of a nation and the power of a nation can be destroyed in a very short period of time. And if this country doesn't repent, and if the Bible was any guide, then you can reliably predict that we will continue to suffer God's judgment. The prophet Zephaniah also says that God will judge the heathen, though. He talks about the people around the people of Judah, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Ethiopians, and the Assyrians. And he talks about how God would judge each one of those nations. And he says to them, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, do judgment and seek justice, and answer accordingly, that ye may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." So this is a call to the nations to repent. St. Peter says in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 17, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" God begins judging his own people in history, but the judgment doesn't end there. He will judge the heathen as well. To the Philistines, he says, "The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines, and I will destroy you out of your dwelling place." Why was the word of the Lord against the Philistines? Well, it wasn't just because God was looking for somebody to be against on a particular day. The word of the Lord was against the Philistines because they were against the word of the Lord. They had dwelt as neighbors of the people of Israel for generation after generation, and they had mocked God and they had rejected his prophets, and there was a day coming when they were going to be wiped off the earth. And as a matter of fact, you don't see any Philistines anymore. Their religion doesn't exist. Their culture is gone. Their language is gone, because this prophecy was literally fulfilled. But the word of the Lord is against anyone today as well who's against the word of the Lord. Those that reject what God has to say, they're going to suffer the consequences. But the prophet Zephaniah doesn't end with just talk of God's judgment, but he also turns towards a message of mercy and forgiveness for the faithful who would repent. And there are two readings that we have from the prophet Zephaniah during the course of the church year, and they're both during Holy Week. And they come from the latter part of his final chapter, chapter 3. The first one is the reading that we read on Holy Saturday. "For then I will restore to the peoples pure lips, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him under one yoke. From the borders of the rivers of Ethiopia will I receive my dispersed. They shall offer sacrifices unto me. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then will I take away from thee thy disdainful pride, and thou shalt no more magnify thyself upon my holy mountain. And I will leave in thee a meek and lowly people. And the remnant of Israel shall fear the name of the Lord, and shall do no iniquity. Neither shall they speak vanity, neither shall a deceitful tongue be in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and there shall be none to make them afraid." And the fathers point out that when he talks about that they will serve him under one yoke, this one uniting that they're referring to is in the church. Because not only the Jews, but also the various Gentile nations have been united under one yoke in the church. The final part of the prophecy is read in the Vespers of Palm Sunday. And this prophecy had a partial fulfillment in that the Jews were brought back from exile. They returned to their homeland. And also they got to see the first coming of the Messiah, Christ. But there will also be a final fulfillment of this prophecy when Christ comes the second time. "Rejoice, O daughter of Zion, proclaim, O daughter of Jerusalem. Rejoice and delight thee with all thine heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thine iniquities. He hath redeemed thee from the hand of thine enemies. The Lord, even the King of Israel, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. At that time the Lord shall say to Jerusalem, Be of good courage, O Zion, let not thy hand be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, the mighty one shall save thee. He shall bring joy upon thee and renew thee with his love. And he shall rejoice over thee with delight as in a day of feasting. And I will gather thine afflicted ones, alas, who have taken up a reproach against her. Behold, I will work in thee for thy sake at that time, saith the Lord, and I will save her that was oppressed, and receive her that was rejected. And I will make them a praise and honored in all the earth. And they shall be ashamed at that time when I shall deal well with you, and at that time when I shall receive you, for I will make you honored and a praise among all the nations of the earth when I turn back your captivity before you, saith the Lord." God's judgment awaits those that are indifferent to him, those that hedge their bets by dabbling in false religions, in the occult, in astrology, Eastern mysticism, those who think that God is powerless to do either good or bad. And the word of the Lord is against those who are against the word of the Lord. Those that reject God's word will be rejected, and God will punish them. But for the repentant and the humble, there is mercy, forgiveness, and an eternal peace that passes all understanding.